Welcome to Cramming for Creox. I'm John, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Let's get started, shall we? Today, we're diving into the weighty topic of obesity in pregnancy, as covered in Practice Bulletin 230. To kick things off, let's start off with a shocking statistic. The prevalence of obesity in reproductive-aged women is a whopping 40%. With such a significant portion of the population affected, first up, we have congenital anomalies. Obesity increases the risk of the following congenital anomalies: second, hydrocephaly; third, anorectal atresia, followed by limb reduction anomalies, cardiovascular anomalies, and orofacial anomalies. Interestingly, obesity seems to be protective against gastroschisis, with an odds ratio of 0.17. Detecting these anomalies can be more challenging in obese patients, both sonographically and with serum analytes. Surprisingly, weight adjustment for analytes does not improve detection of trisomy 21. When it comes to cell-free fetal DNA testing, the success of repeat sampling after a test failure in the general population is 75-80%, but this drops significantly in the obese population. Obesity also adds 1.9 stillbirths per 1,000 pregnancies, and increases the risk of postpartum hemorrhage after vaginal delivery, but not after cesarean section. In the postpartum period, mothers with obesity face a higher risk of early termination of breastfeeding and postpartum depression. And as for childhood comorbidities, there's a link to asthma and neurodevelopmental issues. Now, let's discuss weight gain in pregnancy. The Institution of Medicine's guidelines recommend a weight gain of 28 to 40 pounds for underweight individuals, 25 to 35 pounds for those with normal weight, 15 to 25 pounds for overweight individuals, and 10 to 20 pounds for obese individuals. Inadequate weight gain is associated with an increased risk of delivering a small for gestational age neonate. At the first prenatal visit, it's essential to screen for pre-existing glucose intolerance and obstructive sleep apnea. For antepartum fetal surveillance, start weekly monitoring at 37 weeks if the patient has a BMI over 35 and at 34 weeks if the patient's BMI is over 40. In terms of cesarean section, consider increasing the prophylactic cefazolin dose to 3 grams if the patient's weight is over 120 kilograms, based on non-obstetric literature. And lastly, let's touch on venous thromboembolism prophylaxis. If the decision is made to anticoagulate postpartum, enoxaparin 0.5 mg per kg every 12 hours is superior in achieving adequate anti-10A concentrations compared to fixed dose and BMI stratified dosing strategies. That's a wrap on today's episode of Cramming for Creogs, where we've just weighed in on the complex world of obesity and pregnancy. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for more enlightening episodes on important topics in the field of obstetrics and gynecology.